Reading through Luke's Gospel, friends, we find four rich men. So we want to look briefly at those this evening in Luke's Gospel. Luke chapter 12, please, to start off with. Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. One verse, please, in Job. One verse, please, in Job. Job chapter 12 and verse 10. One verse in Job. Job chapter 10 and verse 12. In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Now, friends, these passages that we have read this evening really explain the whole thing, and I haven't an awful lot, we don't need to say an awful lot about them to confuse the issue. But here in the first rich man, we have a very prosperous man. His ground is good. He's a very prosperous farmer. And all's going well. This man talks about his goods, and he talks about time, and he doesn't have very long left, time left, and he doesn't know it. And when anyone talks like that, verse 20 says he's foolish. Foolish. The wicked Herod that we mentioned this morning that took the life of James. The wicked Herod in Acts chapter 12 was going around, and he was in so much royal apparel, and the situation was so pumped that the people cried out, It is the voice of God. And the angel of the Lord smote him, and he fell dead. Ananias and Sapphira, two Christians in the book of Acts, were pretending to be something that they were not. And God's judgment was very swift. And friends, I say to you this evening in the meeting, unsaved, are you forgetting about God? Living for yourself, as we have read in Job, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Barzillai, an aged man in the Old Testament, asked that question, How long have I to live? And friends, that's something that we have no control over. We have no control over our health. We have no control over our length of days. That's in the Lord's hands. The only people that I know in Scripture that knew of their death were the two thieves on the cross, who knew that their death was coming up within the hour. This man was on the edge of death, and he had no respect for God. Friends, where does that find you this evening? Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Verse 19. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, who was laid at the gate full of sores, desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said unto him, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can you pass to us, and would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. And this rich man, we don't find him in life, we find him in eternity. Too late. This man's in hell. One who never showed mercy to his fellow man. Friends, it's not a sin to have riches, but riches have no lasting value. We will perish forever if we leave God out of our lives. In this account, the misery of the rich man is made worse by the knowledge of the happiness of Lazarus in heaven. And that's in the verses. Without it being explained, that's there in the verses. Heaven is comfort. Hell is torment. The soul, as soon as it leaves the body, goes to one or other of two places. There's no in-between. In this world, praise God, that gulf between the state of man and the grace of God has been bridged at Calvary. And the way of salvation is clear, a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He died on the cross for the thief beside him. The criminal would be with the Savior. The robber would be with the Redeemer. This rich man, it was too late. One on the edge of death, one in eternity, and another one much in life. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, please. Verse 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Very rich. A ruler, it says, a ruler, ruler in the synagogue. Matthew, you'll get this account in Matthew as well, and you'll get it in Mark. Matthew says he was a young man. Mark says he came running with the question. He came running with the question. Religious man, an upright man, respectable man, and that's all good. This young man, very rich, he had made it. He had made it. He had all worked out. Friends, but there's a few things in life we cannot control. And we have said, friends, about health, we cannot control our health. We cannot control our length of days. The Lord, if you see there, the Lord spoke about five to him about five of the Ten Commandments. He spoke to him about five of them. He says, all these things have I kept. He knows this young man through and through. But there was something taking the place of God in his life. And that was his riches. And that was his joy, and that was his comfort. And friends, he knows this man. Did the Lord mean that he couldn't be a Christian except he had sold all he had and got rid of all he had? No, he didn't mean that. He meant this young man loved his riches so much that he couldn't give them up. His love for his riches, he wasn't going to part with. He wasn't going to part with his love for his riches. The Savior knew this young man through and through. That's what left him so sorrowful. The love of his riches that he couldn't part with. Friends, what's holding you back from God this evening? Those who are in the meeting unsaved. What's holding you back? Young person? A sin you cannot give up? Company you cannot part with? Are you going to leave the meeting sorrowful? Because it's taking the place of God. One on the edge of death, one in eternity, one very much in life. And now, friends, we turn to Luke 19, to another page over, to look at the wee tax collector, Zacchaeus. Luke 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before him and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he knew he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they murmured, saying that that he was gone to be with a guest. He's gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to thy house, forasmuch as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Verse 10 there, friends, is the key verse in Luke's Gospel. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. a lovely story of this wee man, Zacchaeus, a well-to-do public man climbing up into a tree to see the Lord Jesus. He was anxious and he risked the criticism and scorn of the crowd when he climbed up into a tree. But a seeking sinner and a seeking Savior will always meet. And that's, friends, just the fulfillment of verse 10 when it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Some of the great things, friends, about this conversion, it was a sudden conversion. Some people don't believe in a sudden conversion, but a sudden conversion is just, that is quite true and quite all right. A sudden conversion, when he climbed up into the tree, he was a sinner. When he came down, he was a saved man. He would not have been saved had he refused to come down and respond to the call of God in the gospel. Back in Luke chapter 5, verse 27, we have the record of Levi, the record of Matthew, the tax collector. Zacchaeus would have heard about that. He knew Zacchaeus before this would have known men who walk crooked but are now straight. A lot of tax collectors and publicans were saved in the Gospels. And friends, a lot of people that told lies and now they tell the truth, men that these men were hated. They added money on for themselves. They were despised people, tax collectors, publicans. And verse 7, friends, we see his depravity. And when he saw that he was going to be with a guest, a man who was a sinner. And friends, that's the qualification for being saved. We're sinners. He was a publican, not a seller of strong drink, but he was a publican, a tax collector for the Roman government. These people took over and above what was required, and they were a hated people. Publicans and sinners meant the same. They were despised people. They were not permitted to enter into the temple. They were not permitted to give evidence in a court of justice. He was the chief among the sinners, it says, and he was rich. Friends, we could write such people off. We could write people like that off. Two people too difficult to be saved. But friends, that's not the case with our Savior. A drug addict walked into the back of a meeting one time, sat in the back row, took very little interest in the meeting, until the preacher said, "In the gospel there is hope for the hopeless." And out he went and put his drugs into the drain and got saved and lived a life to prove it. And friends, in the gospel, there's life and hope for the hopeless. That's the glorious message that we have to proclaim this evening. Praise God for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. No one is beyond that grace. There is no difference, friends. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. John 3:18 is a terrible verse. "He that believeth not is condemned already." Very solemn truth. Friends, where does this find you this evening? Are you a sinner in the meeting here this evening? Unsaved? How are you going to cope in a future day without the Savior? And we have no guarantee of tomorrow. We were thinking there, friends, of his depravity. He was a sinner. We think of his desire in verse 3. He sought to see Jesus. He heard that Jesus was passing this way, and he wondered if he could do anything for him. Must have been a shock when the Savior stopped at the tree. Most people hated Zacchaeus. But there was one who loved him. And friends, are you here tonight under similar circumstances? You know people that the Lord Jesus has changed their lives. And you wonder if he can change your life. Have you a desire for salvation this evening? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His desire to see the Lord. His difficulty. Verse 3 as well. He was a little man. Always difficult when a man steps out to see the Lord Jesus. There's always some difficulty. Short, he was short, and the crowd came between. And friends, is the crowd in your way this evening? Is there anyone in the meeting? And the crowd's in your way. The fear of man. The fear of man. The devil's devices that brings thousands of people to hell. The fear of man bringeth a snare. What would my friends and neighbors think if I got saved? His depravity, his desire, his difficulty, his determination. Verse 4. His determination, he ran and climbed up into a tree. Friends, the people, I'm sure, wondered what this wee man was at. And he's not concerned with the crowd now. He's got past that. He's concerned about his soul salvation. Not thinking now of his dignity, but he's thinking of his destiny. Thinking of where he will spend eternity. Just a little while from now, it will not matter, friends, about the company or the crowd, the bank account, the dignity or the job. The only thing that will matter, friends, is our relationship to the Lord Jesus. Friends, could I say to any and those who are in the meeting unsaved this evening, could I say to you, take care of your never-dying soul. His desire, his difficulty, his determination, his decision. Verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Verse 6, his decision. The rich ruler went away very sorrowful. He couldn't leave his riches. The Savior came along and said to Zacchaeus, come down. And the Savior knew all about him. And friends, he knows your name this evening. He knows your family. He knows all about you. And the same Savior friend knows all that this evening. And he's saying to you this evening, make haste. Make haste. I think that word is only used one other time in Scripture. It's the night before the crucifixion, and the Savior sat around the table with his disciples. And the Savior said to Judas, whatever you do, do quickly. And friends, you can only do one of two things this evening. Make haste. Or otherwise. Judas stood to his feet. He turned his back on the Savior that night and he went out. And it says it was night. And friends, you can make haste this evening and come to the Savior. Or you can turn your back and go out. But friends, I urge you not to reject the Savior this evening. Don't do what Judas did. The crowd murmured, saying, wondering what was going on, but Zacchaeus stood his ground. Zacchaeus confessed him, verse 8, stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I will give to the poor. He's ready. He's a changed man. He's ready to make restitution. He's ready to put the past right. Repentance. And friends, there's a way back to God this evening from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open where you may go in. At Calvary's tree is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do I need to be saved this evening? Is that your question? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When can I get saved? Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Repentance, receiving, realizing, as soon as my all I ventured on Christ's atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered and I was born of God. The Savior, the one that we were speaking about this morning, who came from the realms of glory, who never ceased to be down here what he was up there, went to Calvary for you and for me. And there's no other way. He was unique. Unique in birth, unique in life, unique in death. There was no one like him. Friends, what will you do this evening? What will you do? In the book of Ruth, we read of a family. Elimelech and Naomi and their two boys, Mahlon and Chilion. And the book of Ruth is about a third of the way through the book of Judges that we were referred to this morning. And they were backslidden, and away they went 50 miles down the road to heathen Moab. And Mahlon and Chilion married two wee girls from Moab. And Elimelech died, and 10 years on, Mahlon and Chilion is dead, and Elimelech's dead, and you'll find three widows weeping on the road of life. Naomi represents the backslider. She advised the wee girls to go back to their own families. Orpha represents the unsaved. Orpha disappears off the pages of Scripture, never to be heard of again. She took Naomi's advice and went back to her own family. But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou your God shall be my God." And Ruth was gloriously saved. Verse 16 of chapter 1 of Ruth. So there's three women. Naomi's represents the backslidden woman. Ruth represents the Christian who's all out for God. And Orpha represents the one who turned her back and went out. Friends, who will you stand beside tonight? Who will you stand beside tonight? Which of these ladies will you stand beside? Will we all stand with Ruth? Thy God shall be my God. Went on to marry Boaz, mentioned in the David line. Naomi now came back all right and did well. Will you stand with Naomi? Are you cold in the things of God and backslidden? Will you come back tonight and change from Naomi's position to Ruth's position and seek God's very best in your life? Four rich men in Luke's gospel. One on the edge of death, rich. Forgot about God. one in eternity, too late, pleaded that a messenger would be sent to tell his brothers. A young man had everything going for him. Couldn't give up his riches. Loved his riches. Or Zacchaeus, who found the Savior, got gloriously saved. Friends, how is it with you this evening? Well, I trust that we'll all stand with Ruth this evening, that we'll be saved and seeking God's very best and a hope for the future and our soul's destiny sorted out, our forwarding address left behind us. I trust that God will bless his word to all our hearts this evening, and that any that are unsaved here will not be like Judas, turn their back and go out. Amen.